Hey there, boys and girls, moms, dads, children of ages, ship heading onto the rocks. Might want to turn left, buddy. All right, Fish and Frank here in the chair. We've got Captain Dave in the chair across from me, and he's from Real Southern Comfort Charters. And I guess we can just get started. We've, you know, a whole new show, a whole new day, and I guess let's meet Captain Dave. All right, here we go. Okay, Dave, look at the crowd likes you. Our studio audience, what a great bunch of folks we've got out there. Live from our studios in downtown Charlotte Harbor, Fish and Frank and Captain Dave from Real Southern Comfort Charters. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Captain Frank. How are you doing today?
No, I'm not Captain Frank. I'm Fish and Frank.
Fish and Frank.
Yes, I do have a master's license, and I do have all these other licenses, but my days as charter boat captain are behind. I get to look in the rearview mirror at them. Maybe once again. Maybe when I retire.
Yeah, you never know. Never give it up. So, it's a good life.
Okay. I'm glad.
Yes.
Good for you. I'm so happy when somebody likes their work. Anyway, you've been out to Lemon Bay recently. We've been having a hard time getting reports from Lemon Bay. And Captain Dave, let's first go over, where are you based out of?
Cape Hayes Marina.
Cape Hayes Marina. Nice place.
Yeah, real good. Fun, friendly, family fishing.
Yeah. What kind of boat are you running?
23-foot Sea Fox with the cabin with the porta potty. So the people that go out, if they have to go, they can.
So you're doing a lot of near shore charters, a little bit out in the Gulf and stuff like that.
Yeah, we're loading up with pretty much everything. Recently, we took a family of four out. The youngest was 2 years old, tough youngster. Got a little seasick, got a little ginger ale in her, and she was fine after that with a cracker. We fished in the bay. We picked up on the flats. We're looking for bait. Up in the sawgrass, it was tide was coming in. We picked up a couple dozen pinfish along with some herring, and we noticed the trout and the snook were running up in there too in schools. You can see them darting across because it's only about half a foot of water in the grass. Put out a baby czar spook, toss it out with a light rod. A lot of fun. 10 to 15 inch fish, but when you're 6 or 8 years old, you're catching this fish with your little sister that's standing next to you screaming, fishy, fishy, fishy. It was a good time.
It really is. That's the only thing I miss about doing charters is the families on board, getting a group of them out and, you know, watching the eyes light up. You know, when everything works, it's spectacular.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they can play with the bait and it makes them as happy as can be. Raw water washed down, just let them play in the water, keep them cool. And everybody's happy because when you're cool in the water, it's nice.
Yeah,
it's pretty hot out there now.
Oh man, you jump in the, you know, that's the one thing about this time of year is we go out to get in the water and you jumping in the water, you know, you walk out to the beach and you jump in the water figuring it's going to be cool and wonderful, and it feels like you're in a jacuzzi.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's hotter in the water, so you just get in and get out, get the air on you. It feels good.
So anyway, now what's the out in the Gulf, what's going on out in the Gulf right now?
Okay, so after we do the in-bay and get a bunch of baits and catch some smaller fish, we go out front. Usually we go into 20 to 30 feet of water and we do the sabiki rigs, try to catch some bigger pinfish, maybe some blue runners and that type of bait. And then we pick up the little bit bigger herring. Once we finish there, then we'll go out a little farther, 45 to 60 feet. We're picking up, we're seeing the schools of Spanish mackerel, bonita.
Right,
and we throw the any kind of just a silver lure, small. They have to be small because the bait out there that they're chasing is about an inch and a half.
Isn't it amazing people get out in the Gulf and they want to throw these 6-8 inch baits, and really you should be in that 2-3 inch range to be. You'll be a lot more effective. I usually pick like Castmaster spoons, pompano jigs, stuff like that, or for a bucktail if I want to throw one that's a little heavier. I just trim the hair back.
Yeah,
you know, get it almost like you would a pompano jig, where so it makes it a smaller presence in the water.
Yeah, and to keep the customers happy, when you're in the 15-20 foot on that first drop off of the sandbars, put the pompano jig on, take a little piece of shrimp, drop it down. They catch a pompano, they're going to be really happy for about 15 minutes when you're on 10-pound test line.
Oh, yeah.
Good fight, and then they think they're catching more than bait because customers don't want to go out and catch bait.
No.
They get a little frustrated.
Well, you know, you got squirrel fish out there, you've got blue runners, you've got so many other fish that are fun to catch with, you know, a 6 to 10 pound class spinning rod is a lot of fun on those fish. And you get the whole, kind of gets you a prelude into what's going to happen.
Right, and you get to see what your customers can do when they have to reel a fish in. If they can't get an 8-inch squirrel fish in without losing it at the boat, you better be watching them when they get the bigger fish on.
And, a lot of that makes a big difference. Anyway, would you say, how do you think this warm water is affecting the fish up inside of Lemon Bay? You think it's slowing it down, making it better? You think it's not? It's good and it doesn't seem to have an effect? All three are good answers.
Yeah, when the warmer waters come in, the tide still comes in and goes out, and those bait fish come in to feed on those flats with the grass because they get access to the cover for what they're feeding on, whether they're algae feeders like the mullet or game fish, small insect feeders and stuff. They're all up in the grasses. We recently did the scallop hunt two weekends ago now, for the Florida State University, I think it was.
Betty Stogler's group.
Yes. Yeah. Real good turnout, great day. The weather was good. We got up in Lemon Bay, and me and the wife found two scallops that were living, which is really good. So they're there, but they're not there. They used to be really there, but it's just not there yet.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, I remember when I first started, we used to go clamming out by Placida and all that. And then
just fill the buckets.
Everything. It was just, and I'm not really sure what it was that varied so much, whether it's just that little bit of increase in water temperature, or it was really after 95 when we had that massive flood and then a strong rainstorm that it changed all of Southwest Florida for years to come. Then we had that 2-year drought. Now I hear El Nino has reversed and now it's a La Nina. And with the La Nina, we could actually be looking at more of a drought winter. And if that's true, because right now we're dealing with a lot of tropical systems and stuff like that, but La Nina sets up a strong wind kind of barrier between us and the northern areas that goes right across the bottom southern states, Texas, you know,
yeah, the
over
Tornado Alley.
Well, actually, it's really right along the southern parts, and you know, everything that wind thing is below the Mason-Dixon line. I mean, it's really close to the top of the Gulf, but it separates us, and we don't get the fronts, and then we don't get the rain, and which is kind of nice because we'll stay a much more moderate temperature. We won't get real hot or real cold, but we don't get any rain, and that's, in my opinion, we need a drought. We need literally 6-7 months without rain, and just to, our harbor stays clear, cleaner, because in the winter we're not supposed to get rain, and all the salt water comes up, helps kill all the freshwater bacteria, the freshwater algae, gets all that dead. And then in the summertime we get a lot of fresh water that comes in, and the fresh water goes through and kills a lot of the simpler algae from the salt water, because simple algae grow faster than more complex, you know, mm-hmm. plants do. And it's been that switching from freshwater to saltwater, freshwater to saltwater, that has kept this area such great fishing. And we've had so much freshwater now, it never got to do its switch, so we're getting a lot of extra saltwater or freshwater algae and freshwater bacteria and all these other things that we need a drought to clean this back up. And it's funny to say, but that's actually the truth of it.
Well, it's a cycle that has to be a pattern, a consistency. Anytime you change a consistency, then you're going to lose what normally would populate in that area. You know, the fresh water was too much this winter, way too much. We were in Gulf Cove Fishing Club. We had salinity meters. We weren't picking up salt in the water until you got past Cape Hayes Point.
Yep.
And you go in and buy 4 dozen shrimp, and you turn your area around, you just killed them all with salt, with fresh water.
Yeah.
It was crazy. So that's way up in the bay, you know, because winter, I mean, who doesn't love chasing snook up in the mangroves?
But
and the reds, they weren't there.
And it was weird because the redfish are doing pretty darn good right now. We got some pretty good schools of reds. My only thing that I can think of is there's a tear in the fabric of the space-time continuum where they kind of go to another alternative reality thing where redfish live, and then all of a sudden they just come back, because going a few months ago there was no redfish around, couldn't find
none.
And then all of a sudden now we're pretty good red fishing again.
Well, they're coming up into spawn. They have that internal drive to stay on pattern, but if the water isn't right, it'll mess up their thought process and push them back out.
Well, one of the things that did happen 2 years ago, the fish that we would normally be catching now were affected by a very bad fall red tide. We lost a lot of big breeders. A lot of fish didn't make it through that. A lot of the fry didn't make it. Billions and billions of eggfish fry were killed during that red tide. And when you see dozens of big fish, you know there was tens of thousands of tiny fish died.
Yeah, that you never see.
So that's kind of one of the effects why we had such a poor redfish season. But then all of a sudden now, they're kind of back. And I don't know. It's just such a strange, disproportionate thing. And the only thing that makes sense, tearing the space-time continuum.
Yeah, or Okeechobee. Now, you have to remember the Okeechobee waters down by Sanibel.
It doesn't affect you whatsoever. It does affect Sanibel. But
yes.
Up by Cape Hayes, the northern part of the harbor.
We're pretty good. Really well off.
You go north of Cape Hayes, there is zero effect. I would say maybe 1 to 2% effect from anything from Okeechobee. It just doesn't have the volume to get up to us.
No, it's not like the Mississippi River where you can see it for miles and miles and miles. You can see it.
You can do that, but it's coming out up.
It's all south of us.
Captiva Pass, yeah. Or not Captiva, but Redfish and Ponarasa.
Right.
We have the Peace River and the Maka River that feed fresh water from the top. If the Clusahatchee is flowing, so is the Peace and the Maka.
Right.
So that water is the one we're dealing with. People are here complaining, well, it's at Okeechobee. I said, no, it's not.
No.
We have over 100 miles of Peace River and 80-some miles of Maka River immediately at the top of the harbor.
And that's a lot of fresh water.
And then all our canals and ditches and creeks and everything
and
that feeds
we've been getting pretty good rains regularly.
Oh, it's been... Yeah. The Peace River's at 10 feet. But that's what affects us, not the Clusahatchee.
No.
The Clusahatchee is kind of the Donald Trump of Southwest Florida. It gets blamed for everything. it's the media blitz on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
You know, everything is... You know, the Clusahatchee's fault. It just doesn't, nothing else matters. And
right.
it's actually a lot of contributing factors to it. But getting back into it. Now, on another note, stepping out of the fishing topics for a while, the reason we're talking is you came in to sell me Aflac.
Yes, it is.
The insurance.
Well, I saw on your article there that you weren't feeling well.
Yeah, luckily for me, because of Obamacare, I can't afford insurance. It's $1,500 a month with a $7,000 deductible and a 70-30 copay. Before that, it was $475 a month with an 80-20 and a $3,500 deductible. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of that crowd. You know,
aren't we all? Because
I can't get health insurance now. So, but you sell Aflac, and so I'm going to give you the opportunity to give me a sales pitch right here, live on Radio Fishing. Give me a quick sales pitch.
All right. Supplemental insurance is simple. If you get hurt, whether it's your fault or not, you can have a simple payout cash in your hand the next day. You don't have to have full life insurance or anything like that. That pays you after you've been sick for 30 days or whatever your term is with them, and there's deductibles and whatnot. So you still have to pay for food, gas. You're not going to work because you're laid up or whatever for whatever reason. And the cash in hand helps you. And there's several policies we offer. The biggest one that we're offering that seems to be really popular, especially with me of being a fishing guide, is the cancer policy, because you can't hide from the sun. No matter how much you cover up, it still gets you. It'll burn you through those beautiful shirts that we get from Columbia and everything. Great shirt.
The ones you get from Fish and Franks.
Fish and Franks.
Yes.
The Columbia brand.
Screw those other guys.
Yeah.
No, I don't sell those guys.
No.
I wish I sometimes think I could, but I just don't get into a lot of those. You know, we sell Fish and Frank t-shirts,
yeah.
Sunscreen shirts.
Yeah.
I always find it's funny. They say this shirt is an SPF of 50. And I'm thinking, this cotton t-shirt, because I wear cotton t-shirts, I said, every farmer in the world knows that a simple cotton t-shirt has got to be 100% SPF, because where does a farmer tan come from otherwise?
Yeah, really. And they've been out there in the fields a lot longer than we've been out on the water.
I grew up on farms, so, you know, it's just funny to me, you know, okay, this is a sunscreen shirt. Well, this is a cotton t-shirt that I've been wearing all my life, and I can tell you, underneath this, I'm one albino Yeti the snowman.
Yeah,
my arms are all brown and
yeah.
Stuff, but underneath, yeah, I'm kind of an albino Yeti. All right, anyway, so you can contact him. The easiest way to do it is click the Southern Comfort Charters thing there. It'll take you to his website, and then when you click that, it takes you to, you can find all kinds of stuff. But just click the little logo. It says Southern Comfort Charters right next to this. Anything going on? Any good advice for the average guy just going to kind of head out somewhere?
If you want to fish the shoreline, dig up the sand fleas. They live there year-round. you go to Walmart and pick up a scooper here at Fish and Frank's, just scoop the sand up, filters them out.
I was going to say that. We're going to have to retrain you.
Yeah.
It's that now, if you live in Englewood, I get it, you know, because Englewood's a long drive. But we're worth it.
If you come down to Fish and Frank's, you better bring your glasses with you, because there's a lot of stuff on the walls, and man, is it good. There is so many great lures and hookups here. And the other thing about Fish and Frank's is if you don't know how to do it, they can show you what you need. You're not going to buy junk. Yeah.
But I wouldn't expect somebody to drive all the way over here to pick up a sand flea rake that they
can get. But you can get the information on
how to
do
it. But I'm just saying, realistically, that's asking way too much of people. I think we're a pretty good place, but not to everybody and not for everything. But and sometimes we're worth it. And I can tell you, if I was living in Englewood, I wouldn't drive over here for a $14 sand flea rake. That's adding a little bit to the gas money. But if you happen to be in town, we'll be happy to help you. Getting back into this, so you're saying some sand fleas now. Sand fleas live right at the edge of the water, boys and girls. You don't walk out knee deep. You stand with your feet dry, and right where the water's touching the beach, that's where you want to dig.
Yep, find those bubbles.
And what you're going to do is get them up, and you scoop this up, and then you rinse it up and down in the water, and it's made with like 3-inch holes, wire mesh. And the sand runs out, and you're left with a bunch of shells, maybe a shark's tooth. And then you're going to see something in there. And if you looked at just the very end part of your little finger, it's kind of round and white like that. It's got little legs. And for all the world, looks like a giant flea. Now, the legs are going to point towards the back. And it's amazing to watch these critters go, because they dive into sand and just, you can't even push your finger through it. And they slide through it like it's water.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy the way they go. But the legs are going to point towards the back. When I put my hook in, I put it right in towards the back, so it's not on the head side. I want from the bottom out through the top, as far to the back as I can get with my hook. Now, when you rig up, how are you rigging up for people to catch out there?
You can use a knocker rig, not a real heavy weight. You don't want to disable them, or just a horsehair jig, a small one. Pompano jig is what they sell.
So you're putting your sand flea right on the pompano jig.
Sure, sure.
That's a great idea.
Cut the hair back so the fish can see it moving around.
Right. You want to carry a little pair of scissors so that once you put your sand flea on, you can kind of trim to make sure that sand flea is visible off the hook. Now, knocker rig, to me, that's where I put a sinker, a swivel, usually about 2 feet in line to your hook, so you can just kind of lay on the bottom. Now, I'm not sure, I know people do that all the time. Do you think it's the hook that keeps the sand flea from burying itself?
I think so. It's too much for them to pull through that, because the sand does have density.
So that's why if bottom fishing with a sand flea, otherwise he would just want to scoot right into the sand.
Dig back in, yeah.
Because if I'm out looking for pompano and stuff like that, I use a water fillable casting bubber. I fill it about halfway full of water, cast them out, and usually have the sand flea 2 to 3 feet under that clear bobber. And looking for the pompano, anything that might be cruising through the water, and go, why is a sand flea swimming up here? He's supposed to be down there, but lunch!
Yeah.
You know, like that aspect.
They like that free lunch.
So, anything else we should be talking about today here?
If you do get a chance to go out to 45 to 60 feet. They got some 8-9 foot nurse sharks are hitting pretty good. You got a lot of smaller sharks in with the barracuda and the king mackerels. And then if you can go out a little farther than that, you got your dolphin picking up and the tuna.
Now, if you go into your bait shop there, what kind of bait are you getting out of the bait shop? Squid, sardines?
You got to have a wide variety. Don't be shy and spend a little bit extra money on bait. I like to have at least 2 full-size mullets, 2 to 3 pounders. If you use just the head with a 10-aught hook, 90-pound clear monofilament for 3 feet, get that to the bottom. There's your nurse shark for 8 to 9 feet. Good fight. Cut your sections straight down like steaks, and make sure you got the blood and guts inside of it. That cut the pieces smaller, and you're going to pick up your king max. Now, if you can get live pinfish,
now with the just a step back with the mac, the mullet chunks, are you freelining them with no weights or
no weight?
So you're just putting the hook into them, casting it out, and just kind of letting it drift where it wants to go.
Right. If you got enough current, it'll keep it up in 5 to 10, 15 feet of water. If not, you got to throw it out, reel it back in, and throw it out. You don't want to go too deep. King Macs are surface runners.
Okay, because that's kind of key, because when you said that, I'm thinking, okay, is he still using the sinker or not using the sinker?
Yeah,
you know,
sinking.
It's okay. You're nervous. This is your first time. Literally, the guy walked in the door. He's trying to sell me insurance. Affleck, really nice guy. And I said, come on, let's go back and talk fishing. Let's see what you got. So he literally had about 30 seconds to prepare. I said, sit in the chair, put those headphones on. Yeah, that's Fish and Frank. You'll get to know me more, boys and girls. I'm a cruel and hard taskmaster. All right, now once you said about the mullet chunks, you were going into pinfish. Now, what are you doing with the pinfish?
3 foot leader, small bobber, just so the pinfish can't swim, but a little bit below the surface, and he gets pulled back up, and you'll have a king mackerel. If he's in the area, you'll have mine within 10 minutes.
Cool. Excellent advice. All right. So anyway, boys and girls, there's a lot of different stuff you can do. If you're interested in a charter, let's see. Telephone number is 941-777-4881. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
I don't have my glasses on, so I'm looking at the card. We're trying to read it. But you can click the little thing that says Southern Comfort Charters on here, and you can reel Southern Comfort Charters, sorry. R-E-E-L, Southern Comfort Charters. Just like the booze. No, never mind. I don't know what that's about. I don't do alcohol. Good boy. Yes. He looks like he's like, yeah, I can see it in your face, Frank. All right. Anyway, you can go on Real Southern Comfort Charters. Now, or if you think you want some kind of supplemental insurance, you know, give Dave a call. And tell me your phone number one more time.
941-221-0808 is my cell for Aflac, and then the other one's 941-777-4881 for Real Southern Comfort Charters.
All right, now give me the Aflac one a little slower this time.
941-221-0808.
Okay, so they can always just go back on that to pick it up. But that's if they want Aflac. If they want the charters, it's a 777-4881.
I'll pick up either one.
You'll pick up either one. So whatever you want, just call whichever number. Who cares? You just tell them, hey, I want to go fishing, and you know, you can. The good news, boys and girls, even though he's an insurance salesman, he's not pushy about it. So you can actually go on a charter and you don't have to listen to the insurance garbage.
But we guarantee fish.
You guarantee fish. All right. Now, but see, I always tell the insurance guy, I'm betting the same way you are. I'm betting I'm not going to get sick. Because you're
right.
Betting to me, you're saying to me, you're not going to get sick. And I'm saying, oh, yes, I am. I'm going to be bad. Well, I already am. But, okay, well, that doesn't make any sense. So, anyway, another thing for Fish and Frank not making sense. Is there anything else we need to go through? I know you're busy all day.
Well, that's fine. I really appreciate everybody's time.
Okay. Well, give Dave a call. And thank you, Dave. The crowd really enjoyed that you're here. You know, wave to the studio audience. We've got such a good group out here. Right live and direct from our studios in downtown Charlotte Harbor. This is Fish and Frank in the chair and Captain Dave from Real Southern Comfort Charters there in the seat across from me. And that's going to about wrap it up. You want to say goodbye, Dave?
All right. Tight line stall. Captain Dave here. Signing off.
I got to tell you, I shouldn't ambush people like this, but it's so much fun. You know, when you get old, you got to get your enjoyment where you can. And picking on charter boat captain and insurance salesman. And I had a twofer here today. He's both. So, anyway, give him a call. He's a nice guy. And Fish and Frank, we'll catch you on the next Radio Fishing. All right. Bye-bye.